Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about them.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all,
y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. Plus, if you want to send in your voicemail messages, feel free to go to SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. That's SiriusXM.com/GetSerious to check me out. And send in your voicemail messages. Of course, be a reminder, we re-air every night from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We come on before Doggy, 1 to 3. We come on after Doggy, 6 to 8 with the re-air. So I appreciate the love and support y'all continue to give the show, as the show is just blowing up more and more every single day. Thank y'all for the love and support. It is definitely, definitely much appreciated. A lot of stuff to get into today. Got NFL playoffs to talk about. Got college football playoffs to talk about. The Final Four in college football. Ole Miss, obviously in Miami, set to go up against one another Thursday night. You got Oregon and Indiana going up against one another Friday night. And so at some point in time, I want to ask y'all, what's the matchup y'all want to see the most? I'll tell you where I'm going in a few minutes or so. But the matchup you want to see the most, because I got news for you, this notion that Alabama and Georgia and Michigan and Ohio State are not in the mix, so somehow, some way, that's taken away the allure of college football. I think people who feel that way got it so wrong. So wrong. I'm just thinking about and fantasizing about Miami possibly being in the national championship game. Dare I say potentially winning the national championship, even though I don't think anybody's going to beat Indiana. But could you imagine what that would do for college football? Would you imagine what that reminds you of when you're thinking about college football? That's something to get into as the show progresses. But I wanted to start out with the NFL. I'll get into the NBA as well. I'm going to get into the NBA today because of Kevin Durant and what he did last night and what he said in the aftermath of his victory, his game-winning shot victory for the Houston Rockets over his old team, the Phoenix Suns. I'm definitely going to get into my New York Knicks. I was supposed to be at that game last night, sitting courtside in Detroit, but I had a previous personal commitment that I simply could not miss, and as a result, I could not make that game, and thank God I didn't, because if I had flown all the way to Detroit and watch the New York Knicks get their ass kicked the way that they did, lose about 31 to the Detroit Pistons last night, I would have been a new level of pissed. I'm telling you that right now. So I'm very, very thankful that I didn't end up going to that particular game. But the New York Knicks got some problems. James Dolan showed up on the air talking his nonsense. And I'll address that a little bit later on in the show as we speak. But it's more important for me to start off with the NFL, because we've been talking about these playoff matchups, you know, who's going against who, you know, knowing that New England's got to go up against the Chargers, knowing the Steelers got to go up against the Houston Texans Monday night. I'll be a part of NFL Countdown on ESPN next Monday night in Pittsburgh, talking about these games that are coming up, Jacksonville going up against Buffalo, okay? There's a lot of stuff to look at. Chicago and Green Bay, Buffalo, Jacksonville, San Francisco against the Eagles, the Patriots versus the Chargers, the Steelers against the Texans, the Rams versus the Carolina Panthers. All of this stuff, just the next 5 days of football starting Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. These are can't-miss football games, big, big, big-time football games. And it got me thinking about the league MVP. And I'm not going to lie to y'all, I don't understand how there's a debate. I really, really don't. I don't understand for the life of me how there is a debate. I understand that Drake May is in a conversation to be a league MVP. I get that. I understand Trevor Lawrence, you're looking at the way that he's been playing and the run that he's been on. I got that. I'm looking at some of these people, and I get it. Sam Darnold. He's won more games over the last 2 years than any starting quarterback in the National Football League. I get that. I truly do. Caleb Williams has been balling. And what an improvement with Ben Johnson being his head coach. It's amazing what a head coach could do for you, because Eberflus couldn't do it for him in Chicago last year. He gets fired. He goes to Dallas. He's the defensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys this year. And today he got fired. I get it. I understand it. But there's nothing to talk about here. Matthew Stafford is the league MVP. Matthew Stafford, the quarterback for the Los Angeles Rams, is the league MVP. No, he is not completing over 70% of his passes, 72%, like Drake May is. But the man threw for 4,707 yards. He threw 46 touchdowns to Drake May's 31. The same amount of interceptions at 8. 46 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. And the Los Angeles Rams are 12-5. 37 years of age, Matthew Stafford. And by the way, before they had to settle on Geno Smith, Matthew Stafford was one of the quarterbacks that Tom Brady was trying to get in Las Vegas. I mean, let's understand that there's nothing to talk about here. When you talk about a pure thrower of the football, I will remind you, in the 12 years that Matthew Stafford was in the National Football League playing for the Detroit Lions, as much as the Detroit Lions sucked, we never said it was because of him. We never once said it was because of him. We knew him, and we knew Megatron when he had him. And we said, yo, Matthew Stafford's that dude. But what he has done this year, starting the season off, missing all of training camp, preseason, people talking about the pain in his back, wondering whether or not he was going to be okay. Matthew Stafford has stepped onto the field, and he has showed out. He has showed out. There is no doubt about it. He's that special. There's no debate here. Drake May has been great for the New England Patriots. They got a new quarterback in New England. And major, major props to him for what he's been able to do. There's nothing to talk about here. He's not the MVP. It's Matthew Stafford. You better recognize. You better ask somebody if you don't know. I'm going to tell you who I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask his coach. Take a listen to what Sean McVay, the head coach for the Los Angeles Rams, had to say about his quarterback.
Yes, I think Matthew's the MVP of the league. He played that way. Wouldn't want anybody else leading the way. Got a lot of respect for a bunch of people in this league, but there's nobody I'd rather have being the quarterback of the LA Rams than Matthew Stafford. His play speaks for itself.
Amen. I completely 1,000% side with Sean McVay on this. There's nothing to talk about. 46 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Puka Nacua missed some games. Vontae Adams missed some games. And you've seen what this brother has been doing on the football field, Matthew Stafford. And oh, by the way, we saw them in the playoffs last year in inclement weather, in a damn blizzard practically, going up against the Philadelphia Eagles. They almost won the damn game. We saw them on the road over a week ago in Seattle. They should have won that game. Matthew Stafford, it don't matter. His play travels. It ain't just at SoFi Stadium. His play travels. The brother's special. And I'm here to tell you something right now. He should be the league MVP. There should be no discussion, no debate about this whatsoever. Let's hear from Matthew Stafford and what he says about all this MVP talk.
It's a cool thing. It's a cool thing to be a part of. I appreciate it. I don't take the history of this game lightly and understand where you fit in if those things do happen. So it's cool to be a part of it. But year 17, year 5, year 1, whatever it is, I'm just happy to be having a successful season.
That's Matthew Stafford, star quarterback for the Los Angeles Rams. And as far as I'm concerned, the imminent MVP of this league. Your thoughts, feel free to share them. 888-MADDOG-6888-623-3646. Let me get to another subject that I wanted to talk about. Just real quick, when it comes to college football. You know, as people sit back and they think about college football, there's a lot of people out there thinking that with the Alabamas, the Michigans, the Ohio States, the LSUs, the Georgias of the world, even Clemson to a lesser degree, not being in that picture. There's a lot of people that's walking around acting like, whatever. It's the Final Four, the playoffs, but it ain't that big of a deal. You better ask somebody. Indiana led by Mendoza, led by Cignetti, the head coach, back-to-back coach of the year, 25-2 record in his two seasons, playoffs last year, playoffs this year, Final Four. You're talking about the likelihood of a national championship because they are clearly the favorites. I would remind you, Indiana's a great story. Oregon with Dan Lanning, a lot of people felt he should have went and took the Alabama job. His personality speaks for itself. His level of production as a head coach speaks for itself. But then when you look at the two stories involving Ole Miss and Miami, think about Ole Miss and what everybody's talking about with Coach Golding replacing Lane Kiffin, with all of this noise about Lane Kiffin and people going after him and trying to knock him down, all of this other stuff, right? because he elected to go to LSU. I'm going to say, I said it before and I'm going to say it again. When we talked about Ole Miss and people like myself were saying he should go to LSU. I'm not talking about how he handled his departure. I don't know all the details, but some of the details that I heard, it ain't the most flattering thing in the world. And I get that part. But there's no doubt in my mind that Lane Kiffin made the right decision long term when it came to departing from Ole Miss to go to LSU. You're listening to a black man. And I believe if you ain't from Mississippi, when you hear the word Mississippi, it gives you cause to pause. It just does. From an historical perspective, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just keeping it a buck with you. That's just how it is. I'm not denigrating any of the folks that are there now and the wonderful sports fans that they are and the wonderful facilities and the universities and their great accomplishments under the stewardship of Lane Kiffin over the last 6 years. I'm simply making the point that the vast majority of athletes in college football are black. And when you hear the word Oxford, Mississippi, that's not the first thing that you're thinking about when it comes to going to a big-time college football program. And yes, the age of NIL has arrived and the transfer portal and all of this, but it's still Oxford, Mississippi. And unless you're from there and you know better, because I'm quite sure there's a lot of wonderful people there, and it's a great sports town. The fact of the matter is, it gives you cause to pause. And you're not thinking about it in a way you're thinking about one of those blue blood programs. Like in LSU. I don't blame Lane Kiffin one bit for leaving. Not a one bit. And everybody acting like if Ole Miss wins the national championship, oh, that'll show Lane Kiffin. Excuse me, that'll validate him even more. Because who built the program? It was him. So it would validate him even more. So let's get that out the way. Secondly, them winning and stuff like that, that's about this year. That's not about the future. That's not about 5 years, 10 years, potentially 15 years down the line. That's about, I mean, that's not, you're talking about LSU, that's what this is about. You ain't thinking about that if you had Ole Miss. I'm sorry, you're just not. That's not to knock the program, the university, the players, or anything. I'm just simply saying that is not the way you think about things when it comes to athletes choosing that over some of the other schools. It could be Auburn. It could be Florida. It could be Alabama. It could be Georgia. It could be LSU. It could be Michigan. It could be Ohio State. Everybody ain't Signetti. And oh, by the way, who knows whether there's a big difference between Indiana, Bloomingfield, Indiana, and Oxford, Mississippi. But I can tell you this much. Most people think there's a huge difference between Oxford, Mississippi, and most other places. Just a fact. So props to Chambliss and the rest of the crew at Ole Miss and what they're doing. Wish them nothing but the best moving forward. There's no knock at them. I wish them, they're very excited to watch. And all of us to be watching and be like magnets paying attention to what's going on at the school. Wish them nothing but the best. But it's no crime for Lane Kiffin to depart and leave for LSU. How you do it matters. But it's no crime in him electing to leave. And we got to remember that. And as it pertains to Miami, could you imagine what it's going to do for Miami, for college football, for the college football landscape, if Miami, led by this cat Bane and the rest of the crew, could you imagine what it's going to do with Michael Irvin and Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and Edgerrin James and all of these cats from the U on the sidelines? Could you imagine what it's going to do for the University of Miami if Miami wins a national championship? Could you imagine what that's going to do for the state of college football? If the U is back on a big-time national level and they winning championships, you have any idea how big that's going to be for the college football landscape? I'm sorry, you don't need Georgia and all of them in the Final Four picture for it to be scintillating and interesting and what have you. I like these four teams in the Final Four. I really, really do. And the only thing I don't like about Oregon is they're all the way out the hell in the Pacific Northwest. Because Lanning's personality is great. His quarterback Moore is special, a top two pick likely, in all likelihood, in the NFL draft. With some of the weapons that they have, you got storylines all over the place. So major, major props to them. I think we got a very, very exciting Final Four in college football to watch Thursday and Friday night. I can't wait. And the national championship game Monday night, me personally, I don't lose if Indiana is in the national championship against Ole Miss or Miami. But Indiana versus Miami, if Carson Beck shows up, don't turn the football over, and gives you some pulse of an offense, Chambliss is probably more exciting. He's a playmaker, no doubt. But I like it. I really, really do. So that's the other story I want to get into. Last but not least, I want to touch on Kevin Durant. And I wanted y'all to hear what he had to say in the aftermath of hitting a 27-foot shot at the with like 0.3 seconds left to win the game for the Houston Rockets, 100-97, over his old team, the Phoenix Suns, with Royce O'Neal draped all over him, and just pulled up and then waved for them to get the hell up out of there. Kevin Durant averaging about 26 a game, 37 years of age. He turned in September, still averaging 26 a game, shooting 52% from the field, 40% from three-point range. The brother's just buckets. He's a future Hall of Famer, a two-time champion, a two-time NBA Finals MVP, who just reminds you of his greatness anytime he wants to, by the way. But this is Kevin Durant after the victory last night in Houston, speaking about beating his now former Phoenix Suns team where he spent the previous 2.5 years playing for.
Most definitely, you know what I'm saying? A place that I didn't want to leave, and I don't want to sound too dramatic, but I will, to be kicked out of a place, you know what I'm saying? And felt like that, you know, I've been scapegoated, you know what I'm saying, for the issues we had as a team last year. Yeah, it felt good to beat them and hit a game-winning shot, but that's all it is. It's not just for the moment, you know. It's something tomorrow I won't even think about.
I respect where Kevin Durant's coming from. He's tied it to his feelings. I would respectfully say that he's looking at it all wrong. He wasn't scapegoated. When you are a superstar, the caliber of Kevin Durant, you expect a better than 36-46 record, which is what you had last year missing the playoffs. You expect not to be swept in the first round, which happened to you the year before when Anthony Edwards and the Ant-Man and Minnesota took you out in four games in the first round. You expect that. You don't expect that from a team with Kevin Durant on it. So let's get that out the way first. Secondly, regardless of Kevin Durant's belief that people may have been blaming him, it's not that. Kevin Durant is a hooper. He wants to hoop all day, every day. And he's a treasure to the game and something and someone that will be sorely missed when he's gone. But what he has to understand is that with greatness comes great expectations, number one. And number two, for this team to course correct and to move into a different direction, the necessity was to move him because outside of Devin Booker, who you're never going to let go of because he's a lifer in Phoenix and he's younger, Kevin Durant was the only tradable asset you had to get quality compensation in return from his services. Have y'all seen Dylan Brooks playing this year? Have you seen the positive impact he's had on the Phoenix Suns? Jalen Green ain't even really get started yet. Still wait for him to step up and produce. But the fact of the matter is those two dudes along with picks was what you got for Kevin Durant. You, in order to rebuild, you had to do that if you were the Phoenix Suns. And that's the point to bring up here. See, a lot of times these players are thinking you're being disrespected because you didn't get to necessarily dictate what you wanted in terms of wanting to stay in Phoenix. Well, you wanted to stay in Phoenix, but
if you wanted to stay, you got to win. And if you're not winning, change has to be made to position yourself to win. You can't give you all the money, even though we know you good for 27 a night. You're a superstar in this league, but it's not translating into winning basketball games. That's a fact. And so Phoenix had to do something, and he was the only one that they could do something with. Jalen Green has only played two games this year. Two games. And I saw him play in the playoffs last year. He's got to work on his game. He's not working on his game. He's incredible. He's an incredible freak athletically. And he has a boatload of potential. But he got to work on his game. He can't be a sporadic and spotty shooter. He got to do better than that, because him and Devin Booker in the backcourt together, they could do some things if he's healthy and he's focused on being an elite player. Kevin Durant is special. And in order to get things right, you were going to have to get rid of him. And what has happened since you got rid of him? What's happened? Let's look at it. The Phoenix Suns right now are a seventh seed in the Western Conference. They're 21-15. They're only two games back of the sixth seed. Because you get the sixth seed, you avoid the play-in tournament, and you just get the first-round playoff series. Minnesota's got them by two games. Houston's got them by 2.5 games. The Phoenix Suns right now, since the Kevin Durant trade and since letting go of Bradley Beal, are better than the Golden State Warriors, better than the Portland Trail Blazers, better than the Memphis Grizzlies, better than the Los Angeles Clippers, better than the Dallas Mavericks, better than the Utah Jazz, Sacramento Kings, and New Orleans Pelicans. It's working out for them. They're six games above 500. They're in the mix. They're respectable. And they kept their youngest superstar in Devin Booker. And they got younger with more assets. That's not booting Kevin Durant out the door and disrespecting them. That's saying we're trying to win, and we know we can't win now. And by the time we win in the future, you might be 38, 40 years old. That's all it was. And that's what we got to remember here. So let's not act like, oh, my God, Phoenix said, you ain't worth a damn. Get out of town. It's not what they're saying. Everybody knows that Kevin Durant's a superstar. It's that it didn't translate to winning when it came to them. And you needed more bodies. And they not only traded him for more bodies, they traded him for younger bodies and picks. That's what happened, and that's what we got to remember. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. I'm going to get into some college football yet again because EJ Manuel is coming up next. Remember, R-Truth, WWE superstar, promoting the WWE Unreal Season 2 on Netflix. He'll be here at the top of the hour as well. Can't wait to speak to that brother. Ain't too many brothers that's been superstars in the WWE, you know. He's one of them. Can't wait to talk to him. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM. Mad Dog Sports Radio, back with more in a minute.